I'm ready when you're ready.
All right. You can, we are recording and you can count us in when you
want. Oh, thanks. I will. 5, 4, 3, 2. You are listening to Flying with Famous. You're all Fresno podcast. I am Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater. With me, as always, Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
I'm here, Josh.
Yeah.
In Fresno.
We have no special guests.
No.
We never.
We don't run off guests.
Yeah.
By design. Oh. All four podcasts are like that.
What's that?
All four of the network podcasts are like that. No guests or bonuses.
Okay.
No guests needed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we'll have to work on some guests for this year.
Well, so. I always wanted Bill Mack.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. I think he would be a good one. He has lots of stories to tell.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh yeah, he tells a lot. He went to see Dave Mason from Traffic.
Okay.
The band Traffic came to town.
Oh, the band Traffic. Okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying a Fresno B reporter that does no. Traffic.
Yeah. Mason. No, so he played guitar in the band Traffic and some other bands. And he came to Fresno and he played at the Tower Theater. And then Bill McEwen went and saw it. And so then the next day he gave me a review of it. And it was awesome to hear all of this, like his take on it, all the stuff that he had to say. So
Bill was like wishing he was the music writer too. He's like, can I just read? You should just write it up, Bill.
Yeah, right. I'm totally. No, but he knows I think he knows a lot, but obviously he's, enjoys a certain era.
Right.
You know? Okay. Yeah. So. All right, so what's been happening
we got to go right out of the gate.
We got to go straight to it.
Fulton Street Mall news.
Fulton Street Mall.
Fulton Mall Street.
Yeah, Fulton Mall, the street that was the mall. That was a street.
We can still call it still a mall, but they won, the Fulton Street people won the lawsuit. They're basically... are not going to get sued. So
right, yeah. The final. So I think that was the final sort of like lashing out from the mall proponents. Those who wanted to see the mall saved were thinking that they would be able to sue in a federal court to essentially like have it get a stay of execution or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the judge said no.
Nah,
so it is all
green lights.
All systems go
outside of the $2.5 million budget.
Right, and that was the other thing. Yeah, so then you know immediately after the story, then you get the story about how they're cutting the proposal so that it will fit into the budget that we have. So,
do you know what I heard? Wayfinding signs are cut out.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I heard.
And I think, you know, the story I read had said that, you know, there were some ways that some of the high speed rail stuff could be used at like a later date or something. Whatever, but and I mean it's sort of ironic, I think, because you know the people who wanted to see the mall kept as the mall. I think this was their the thing that they feared, you know, was that like it would go through and then immediately, you know, you would start seeing the budget or the proposal get changed so that it could fit within the budget, and some of the things that would get changed would not do well for us. Us being, you know, a city that wants
it to be cool.
Yeah.
If you're going to take out the mall, then that street better look super cool.
Right.
And they're already cutting that out.
Yeah. Wayfinding signs.
Was there anything else, do you know, that was...
You know, I didn't look deeply enough to see exactly what the other things were. But probably the art is probably going to be like...
Yeah, that's what we're worried about, bro. They're going to sell off some art to pay for $2.5 million.
They'll sell it off to pay for the... And it, I don't know. I doubt that actually that could happen, or that like that they would let that happen. Although, you know, I mean, I guess it could happen. It could happen. And if it does, there's going to be a bunch of pissed off people, myself included, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because while I have gone back and forth about whether I want a street or not, or even cared at a certain point, now that they're doing it, I hope that they do it right.
Yeah. Now, yeah, everyone's got to get on board and assume it's happening, and now be watchdog of how they're going to do it.
And so that will begin in February.
Yeah, the mayor says next month.
Yeah, end of February.
End of February, okay. We'll have at least another episode in before that, but I'm like thinking like, wow, like could the next time we talk, will the dirt be moving?
Oh, I don't know.
Happen?
If it happens, I'll try to get out there and grab a soundbite of the jackhammer skeleton.
This podcast has been around for 11 years. Neither one of us have been here the whole time, but I'm sure Fulton Mall has been talked about that whole time, whole 11 years.
Right.
So
yeah.
for it to be finally be torn out would be a huge event.
That's a big thing. That's a big thing that's going to be happening. And I think good. I think it's going to be a good thing. So speaking of Fulton Mall, you know, did you see that Peeves has changed some?
Oh, they changed
their hours. And they've done some other stuff.
Made some adjustments. Basically, they're going to be closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, I think Mondays.
I don't want to see it.
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, I don't want to get it wrong.
They're changing, I guess their beer list is going to be, or their tap list is going to be like majority local stuff. So they're really going to change the focus to that. They're only going to have Fresno State wine. And then I think the biggest change is that they're starting to charge now for their shows there.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. Like that was like their thing forever was never charging to get in, except for the Fuse Fest.
Right.
Fuse Fest a-holes always made them.
always made them charge. Well, you know, so I talked to Craig. I saw Craig just briefly and, you know, asked him about it. And, you know, he was saying that it's just – it's kind of what they had to do, and it kind of held the bands responsible a little more because you know, they were paying bands regardless, and I guess
so the bands are like, we don't need
They're like, it doesn't really matter, like we can just show up and, you know, like play and it's no big deal or whatever. And so, you know, I think Craig's thought was, well, if we're gonna pay some people, we need to be recouping at least some of that cost, you know, because they're not like if they were a bar, let's say just a bar, you know, they would be able to make some of that money back on the bar. But, you know, as if you're just selling beer, you know, even at whatever that markup is, it's not.
Yeah, they don't have that hard liquor. Yeah, where that's where they make that's where you really make the money is the hard liquor,
right?
And they're an all ages venue, right. So you could theoretically have a show packed with people not drinking.
You're just
gonna die. Like, there's no way to make your money back and pay the band, you know.
And it makes sense. I mean, to me, as much as I think free shows are cool, you know, I think there's something to be said for like, hey, if you like something, you should pay something for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they've had a couple shows there, and I think they've only charged, you know, $5 at the most. So, I think it's going to be cool. What I appreciated was, you know, they did these changes, and Craig actually put kind of a pretty in-depth explanation of it up on the P's Facebook page, and just kind of laid it all out and said, look, here's what's going on. You know, he said, we're not making money. You know, it's actually costing us money to be open on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And he's like, I think we can make Sunday. Eventually we can grow it to where it will be making money, but we got to cut someplace else. So yeah, we're not going to be open on, you know. So, you know, I found that like nice that he was willing to just like, you know, put it out there. 'Cause so many times like places, you know, change things and then everyone's just talking about it, but no one really knows what the hell is going on, you know? And so it's nice to not have like people going, well, they must be struggling or, you know, whatever it is. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Hopefully that's not one of those, canary in a coal mine kind of like moves. Right. It's just going to make things better.
Right. Right. No, I mean, I think, you know, it's a business, you know, and it's like businesses generally don't do very well in the first however many years. Yeah. And B, it's a downtown business, then, you know, they have to protect what it is that they do. So
it would be so heartbreaking if Craig couldn't make it until the mall was open.
Oh, right. Yeah. That would just be, I mean, yeah, it would be heartbreaking. It would be like,
you've got to see that come to fruition.
I have to leave at that point. It would just be so like, yeah, damning. But it was so interesting when, you know, the news about the mall came out, and they were, KMJ, pretty much all day was talking about the mall, you know, at all of their shows.
I want to see that.
And
you should have texted
Ray,
me, bro.
Ray Appleton had some guy call in, and, you know, he was like, it was funny because Ray was sort of like, in the way he was talking, like, saying that he liked downtown and blah, blah, blah. But this guy calls in and he says, you know, the typical, oh, it's not safe down there, it's dirty or whatever it is, you know. And then he says, and, you know, look at what's been viable in the last 20 years. Has there been anything viable down there in the last 20 years? And Ray's like, no, nothing, you know. Oh. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? I mean, look at, you know, you could just list off all of the things, you know, Tioga Sequoia, Peeves, Warner's Theater, Take Three, you know, Miscellaneous, you know. I mean, you can just go down the list of things that have been viable, and it gets back to that whole thing of like
Joe's Steakhouse.
Yeah, right. And, you know, what I think when people are saying that, what they mean is like, there's nothing down there that is cool for me, you know, is what they're saying.
Yeah. There's no Outback Steakhouse down there.
Right. There's no, like, you know, and, which is totally true. And I think, like, if that's the argument they want to make, well, then that's cool, you know, but make that argument. But you can't just like blanket say that like, oh, there's nothing down there, because there's been businesses down. I mean, Tokyo Garden has been down there for, you know, 50 years or whatever. And I mean, there's a ton of businesses that have been down there.
Club One.
For longer. Right. So, I mean, I don't think, I think it's such a stupid thing to be like, oh, there's nothing viable down there. No, there's just nothing that you see, you personally, that person saying this sees as viable, because there's lots of things that other people see. So that's my downtown, like, rah-rah.
That's been the downtown report.
Yeah, that's me, like, drinking the Kool-Aid or whatever. All right, so what else? What else is...
Are you ready to... I mean, I if Are you this year? Are you going to go visit Majestic Yosemite Hotel?
Yes. Are you talking about the what used to be Awani?
Yeah, the hotel formerly known as Awani.
Yeah. Can I still call it Awani?
I think you can.
Right, but it cannot call.
No.
You had been talking about this before. I think we actually mentioned it before. The possibility of this, right? Was it you?
Somebody? Oh, it might have been somebody
because,
else.
So this story broke this week, and I don't... maybe you can explain it a little better than I can, but...
Yeah, so Delaware North is the company that they've been using for their vending in Yosemite. And part of that deal when Delaware signed on was there was like two deals. One had to do with the food, and the other had to do with the naming. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is something that the parks department didn't really pay much attention to or wasn't that focused on. And so part of the deal was that Delaware North got the naming rights, like half was one of the other deals they got.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the time comes up for their new contract for a new vendor, and Yosemite chooses another different vendor for the food than Delaware North. So then Delaware North, after this, well, Delaware North says, well, okay, when we want $44 million for the naming rights to give you back the naming rights.
Oh.
And Yosemite says, we're like, what? What are you guys talking about? And Delaware North's like, dude, we got the naming rights. So if you want it back, we need $44 million. And Yosemite's like, that's like a lot of money. How about $1.5 million? And Delaware North is like, no way. We're not going to give it to you for $1.5 million. So then Yosemite's like, all right, well, we're just not going to call them by those names anymore. How about that?
Man.
So that's basically what's happening at this moment.
That is the craziest story. I mean, in one sense, smart on Delaware North.
Yeah.
For, you know, that's a smart move. Come on, Yosemite, really? Yeah. I mean, you didn't think, like somebody made a mistake on that one.
Yeah, somebody was asleep at the wheel a little bit there.
Right. But B, good on Yosemite for just going, who cares?
Yeah, I think most people are backing Yosemite. Like, because these guys, I think that's part of their MO is like sort of slyly getting naming rights to these national parks. Where they can, and because they have them in a couple, I think the Grand Canyon, they have like a same deal in the Grand Canyon, and they have another couple other places where they have this same deal. So like they know what they're doing, and the Delaware North people, they're not just like innocent in it. It's just
right.
I think the only thing the Yosemite, Parks Department, whatever government, whoever. You want to blame?
Yeah, whoever's right. Yeah,
you just maybe they're a little bit naive, not paying attention to that when they should have been.
Well,
but
it doesn't hurt them now because they just go, right? Like Awani, who cares?
Yeah,
and really, is it going to hurt them? I mean, that bad?
No,
you know, are people who are staying at the Awani Hotel not going to be able to find the Awani Hotel when they type in Awani Hotel Yosemite, and whatever the Majestic, what is it? What's it called?
is now going to be called the Majestic Yosemite Hotel.
Right, comes up.
They could have just said the Majestic. That would have been great. Instead of the Majestic.
And Badger Pass, too, right?
Badger Pass is going to be called, Curry Village is going to be a different name. It's going to be called Half Dome Village.
Oh, which
Badger Pass is. I think Badger Pass is like Yosemite Ski Park area, which is actually more of like like a sort of legitimate better name.
Well,
in a
no.
way.
So what's funny is I was reading these, like, I just skimmed through the story. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, well, that's actually a better, like, in some cases.
At least,
like,
yeah, for somebody who doesn't know
better, you know.
Yeah, for somebody that has never been or doesn't know anything about Yosemite, like, you would Badger Pass, you'd be like, what is that? I don't know what that is, but Yosemite ski area, that's kind of, oh, okay. They got a ski, they have a ski resort there.
So is that like all, is it still being, going through the legal process?
Yeah, it's still, it's not done. It's, basically, I think, Yosemite is, it's kind of like a bar, like your move, guys. Oh, okay. Like, well, how about we just name them something different? So I think they're probably hoping, unless and I think it's I want to say in March is when everything switches over.
So you would think that Delaware North would now go, well, I guess we should just take our 1.4 million or whatever Yosemite.
You think
you're gonna give them now? I mean, you maybe Yosemite now will just be like, no, guys, we're not giving you anything. Go after yourselves.
Yeah. You know, unless Yosemite's that bitter, it's just like, no, go
They're
eat.
Like, no, we've already made the letterhead.
No, we got a sign guy already.
Yeah, we got a guy out here making it.
He's literally in the middle of writing the sign out here. I can't just have him stop.
Oh, man, that is too funny. Well, so we'll have to keep that. Keep everyone updated
we'll
on
that.
That's very interesting. Okay, what else?
Oh,
so Yosemite. So we like Yosemite.
Well,
on this podcast.
Well, we don't have a porn. One of our national treasures in downtown porn stores has got torn down.
Yes, true. What is it? Wildcat Enterprises.
Wildcat? Is that what it is? I have no idea.
What was that place called?
Yeah, that's what every guy says. Like, what was that place called?
What was that?
I don't
place
know.
Downtown.
I don't know, man. How would I know?
Well, it was Wildcat, is what it was on Fresno and G Street.
Yeah.
And I only know because it's across the street from Cosmo, the old Cosmopolitan.
And I know because one of my best friends growing up, his family owned the restaurant that was on the other side of that building.
Okay. Right.
There's restaurant and growing up, they owned that. So I remember.
Well, interestingly enough, as a bit of history, I do believe that Wildcat kept Fresno Famous afloat. A long time because
that's
they
why
were
I was that's deep. Why I felt so familiar.
I think they were the first and possibly the only advertiser on the blog when Fresno Funnies was a blog site.
For
a long time they advertised.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know,
like, you know, if they gave any kind of special deals or whatever. I don't remember, but yeah.
I think Jera and Mike probably even mentioned it on Flowing with Famous at some point.
Right. I don't think that carried over when
I don't think the bee kept that on. I don't think so.
Or maybe it did. I don't know. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine that the bee would turn down money even from Wildcat. Yeah. I want to say maybe Wildcat, when it switched over and it came to the Fresno Bee, was still at least had online ads, I think.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. But anyway, it was. Is it gone completely now?
The picture I saw, it was pretty.
To make place for the high speed rail.
Pretty gone.
And I don't think it will be rebuilt, unlike Cosmopolitan.
No.
So now, if you
well,
want
yeah,
to
because
buy,
that Cosmopolitan is being rebuilt in another location, so.
If you want to buy your pornography and porn accessories, I guess it's Susie.
It's too late, bro. Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's the internet now. I don't understand how these shops stay in business. Like,
there's also video liquidators, I believe. Blackstone.
The Red Door. They've got one of those Red Door
I believe
sections.
So. And I only know that because I knew someone who used to work there, and they made him take a test when he what? Started about pornography
what?
So that he could properly help people.
When just like any good record shop owner right. that has to know some music.
They're like, your six types of porn, go. Six subgenres of pregnant porn. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, that's, you know, it'll be interesting. Man, it's going to be really interesting to see how that whole area reshapes itself once high-speed rail comes in. All the way, you know.
Yeah, just I think a lot of this, a lot of it seems to be from overpasses and underpasses.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Rather than like, you're thinking like, oh, track, they got, it's more, it seems like it's all about under and overpasses.
Right, yeah.
As far as the land grabs go.
Yeah.
I know that I will be interesting to see what happens at Shaw for one, for just,
oh yeah,
that's such a huge crossing right there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how are they going to handle that while they're making an overpass or underpass? And, right. and I know Forest Air the Underground Gardens was mm-hmm. a little bit worried about
oh,
that
right.
before, mm-hmm. like what, because they seismically, because they already right. have to deal with 99, and that 99 actually ruined like a section of the Underground Gardens.
Oh no, I did not know that.
And they have issues from just seismic issues from trucks and stuff. So they're kind of freaked out. Well, this was like 2 years ago. I haven't checked in since, but I was talking with one of the girls that worked there, and she was
they were
kind of
shame.
Freaked out about that. But
yeah, well, I know that you know. So they're downtown. They're also taking out the Tuolumne Bridge.
That runs officially going down.
Into downtown, and so they're taking it down and rebuilding it. It's going to be double laned, and I think that's going to be awesome. I think it's going to look so much better than the thing that was there, and it's going to be, you know, make it a two-way street. So I think just that alone, positive for downtown.
Yeah.
Whenever it gets done. Right now, it kind of is.
Right now,
crappy.
It's going to suck for a couple years but, here. I think,
you know.
But
yeah. But we'll get there.
But so. I mean, it's happening. It's kind of, that's another thing. Same with the Fulton Mall.
Right.
Like it for a year. You know, it's just talked about for years, and it just didn't seem like something that's going to happen. But it's. I mean, they're blowing right. tearing they're, stuff down.
Right, right. They're tearing buildings down, and getting they're destroying legitimate porn businesses.
Yes, and, honest porn businesses.
Bridges.
Bridges.
So, overpasses. I guess it's an overpass, Tuolumne overpass.
Yeah. But it'll be a new and improved one. So that's all right.
Yep, coming soon. About the time that the road gets there on Fulton Mall, you'll have a nice little overpass to take you there.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, or get you out of there if that's what you'd rather. I'm leaving.
Well,
let's see what else.
We've got some more stuff, but first, I think we need to take a music break.
Music break. All right. Band of the episode. Let's do it. Let's play it, then
you guys just enjoy this, and then you'll you'll get to find out who it is after you listen to a little bit of this.
Well, I'm dancing in the moonlight with you, traversing these strange terrain. For a little time, perhaps I'll stay here with you. Whoop. Ooh.
so
wee beasties.
The wee beasties. Right. With not two like E's. Wee, two E's.
Wee beasties. So
this is a new band. Newish. Man, probably with just within the couple, last couple of months that they've been around and playing. Oh. I saw them bubbling up on my social media, and they've been playing. This may have been their first show that they played this weekend with a band called Gardens and Villa, who was playing at Strummer's. This may be their first show that they played, which is exciting. You know, we always love to see new bands coming around. So there it is. We Beasties. Check them out.
Beasties. Yeah. Adi just had his birthday bash. It freaked me out. His famous birthday weekend, where he just a whole weekend of bands celebrating Adi's birthday.
Eight years he's done that. Yeah, crazily enough.
That's like almost a festival, like a festival that's not talked about, that's not officially a festival, but annual festival in Fresno.
Well, next weekend, the January 22nd, Fulton 55 is hosting their five-year anniversary.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Yeah. So they've been there five years, and they're going to have a very similar thing. They're having two nights local music. So the first night is Cat Cave Productions, which is a new or relatively new production company. And they're going to have a bunch of live bands, a bunch of local bands playing, like a lot, like.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know, eight or so. I mean, like, you know.
Good for them. How many stages?
It might be upstairs, downstairs. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder who thought of that.
And then the following night, so that would be Friday. So Saturday night, they're going to have 40 Watt Hype. They're going to have Let's Go Bowling and Simpson.
What?
Samson Simpson. I can't remember. I'm messing it all up, and now everyone's going to be confused. But it's a band. Samson,
it's a band, okay. Simpson. Look at Fulton 55's shows.
Yeah, and you'll see. And then Seiji is the other one. So, I think it's going to be, you know, two cool nights. And I was down there the other day talking with Tony Martin, who's general manager. And he has some really cool ideas. You know, they want to do some stuff. He's back as a general manager and seems to have been doing really. I mean, they've announced some really cool shows. You know, they're going to have Reverend Horton Heat. They have Los Lonely Boys coming in. So I think they're doing like a twofold thing. One is like they're really working to bring in like the big draw bands that can fill that space on days that they can fill that space. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other is like working to help local bands build a draw.
Okay.
So that, you know, then the local bands can fill that space maybe sometime. So that's kind of their idea, and they're doing you know, I think Wednesday, Thursday night, like local showcase kind of stuff. Not every Wednesday, Thursday, but you know. So, you know, if you're a local band, I think, you know, that's gonna be the place to go. I mean, Audie's always, you know, I think
And Strummer still has them too.
It does. It's going to be like, I mean, Strummer has locals playing, and they have local shows sometimes. But you know, Strummer is definitely more of like the touring band place. Right. And I think Fulton 55 is really trying to build their local. So there it is. I don't know. What it all means, but they're celebrating 5 years. And
Tokyo's not really doing shows right now, are they, or am I just not seeing them?
No. I mean, they do shows once in a while. They had a show there this weekend, actually. And, you know, they do their Sunday night jazz. So every they have a jazz jam, and it's a different band every weekend, or like every other weekend or something. I think there's like two sets of people who run it, and one does on one weekend, and then the other they alternate, you know.
Yeah.
They're doing their jazz thing, but they're not doing shows. Definitely not, you know, in the same capacity that they did before. I think they'd be open to it. Tommy and Tosh. Yeah, I just think there's not anyone going in and doing it, you know. So
yeah. Look for it local.
Right. Yeah.
One thing out. I always like to bash Clovis when I can, especially Clovis Unified.
Oh, them. Yeah.
Them conservatives. Yeah. So I think a 12-year-old girl was sent or not sent home. She had this. She wasn't able to go to recess. Wasn't able to go to class. She got sent to the office because of a dress code violation.
Whoa.
Yes.
She was dressed like a hoochie, I bet. Yeah,
and then you look at the picture, and it's like nothing. It's just a nice, cute outfit. Like, she had leggings on.
That was the problem.
they said the problem was because she had, like, kind of like a skirt blouse kind of thing.
Oh, okay, okay.
And they said that the skirt was too short. But she had leggings on, so she basically had pants on.
Interesting.
And it was only somebody walking down the hall just said, "Hey, you look like you're out." Like, go. They called it like an outfit to going out clubbing outfit or something, and sent her to the office.
And then the girl was how old?
I think 12. I think it was 12. She was 12.
Well, and that's when people start going out clubbing.
Yeah. That's the clubbing age.
Clovis Unified. So this is like...
You see the picture. It's just like, what? You're like, huh?
So like Clovis Unified, this is the thing I think like forever that I've like heard about Clovis Unified is this dress code that they have, you know? So they have this like crazy dress code where like...
The boys can't have facial hair.
Yeah, they can't have long hair.
Can't have hair below their ears.
And I don't think they can have facial hair.
All
this stuff. And parents hate it. You know, like parents, they just, because the kids are always like getting dinged. Because I think it's also like zero tolerance kind of thing. If they see you, they'll just be like, no, dude, you got to go home or whatever. And so I think there's a lot of animosity between the school district and parents, because like parents are kind of like, you know, because I don't think
it's annoying to get pulled out of your work to like go deal with the situation where your kid had camouflage like pants on. You're a parent.
Would you send your kid to school if you thought they looked inappropriate?
No.
Right. So,
they're not like... Yeah, they're already think you're fine walking out the door, so it's going to be annoying.
But. Well, and it seems also like if you're going to have a dress code that strict, why not just make uniforms?
Yeah,
like
just do school uniforms
and just be done with it. You know, and some of the stuff did seem kind of crazy. Like I read that story actually. And yeah, some of it was just like, what, why, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
She has leggings on. And like, what does it matter anyway? In the story, the spokesperson for the school was very like, this is what we do and people... This is what we're known for, and people this is, like it.
Oh, the statement was, one of them was, This is how they differentiate themselves and the workplace is because of this Clovis Unified upbringing. Like they look better than they look better. People can spot the Clovis Unified
because
they dress better.
Interesting.
And this is like one of their selling points of the district.
Oh man, that is really funny. Yeah, well, so the story, I think what the tag of the story, I mean, the the reason that it's being talked about is because the code is up for like renewal or something, or they're going to look at it again this year or something. Is that the?
I didn't even notice that part.
Oh yeah, I think that's the thing. They're looking at the dress code again to see, like, but like it wasn't. It's only been 2 years or since you could wear shorts year round.
Oh,
like at school. Like before that, they had shorts.
Only
like,
when it was hot, yeah.
Short day.
Whatever. I remember like, that. This was when I went to Clovis Unified at some different various points of my childhood. I remember that you couldn't wear shorts unless it was like scorching hot.
That's crazy. That's crazy. My brother would have died. He would have died. My brother wore shorts like I think every day to school. Like I don't think I ever saw him wearing pants.
Yeah, I had like, one of those friends growing up too. He was in Fresno Unified the whole time, and he like I don't think even in January he was wearing shorts. And we'd all make fun like, "What, dude? What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm not
crazy." I also would not have made it in. Like one of the things is camouflage pants. Can't wear camouflage pants.
Yeah. Yeah, that was from like, some like early 90s gang that had that was their thing. And so it's just still stayed for it's like a defunct thing, but it's still on the still on the books.
That's so crazy.
So they still enforce it.
Oh man. Well, and it'll always be that way. I really do think like as much as people like complain about it, you know, it is sort of like what people expect out of Clovis. So I don't think and Clovis isn't going to back down. Like they're not going to change you know. So cut your hair, you hippies.
Yep. Don't be a hippie at Clovis.
Don't be a hippie if you go to Clovis.
Clovis Unified.
Yeah. I thought that was a really
I think cool half of Clovis Unified is in Fresno anyway.
Well, that is true. That is true. Maybe we should just annex those parts of it.
I think Clovis Wish should always been Fresno, a Fresno Unified area.
Yes. Yes. It's definitely in Fresno. But
well, I have an oddity story, Fresno oddity story I found.
Okay.
this happened this week. Owner of the 97 cent store on Shields and West. He was running. He had three slot machines in the back. He was running his own little mini casino in the back. He got shut down.
That is awesome.
In the 97 cent store, he had three slots going.
That is the greatest. It was
like a small little blurb, and I was like, this should be like. This is an awesome story. It should not be buried.
Wow. So he had slot machines in the back.
Yeah. And it was just like it was just like sort of like an underground casino he had going on.
Penny slots or what?
I don't know what the slots thing. Oh, yeah, payout. That's what my thing was thinking. I was like, really? You're going to trust some dude, some 97 cent store to like.
Right. To actually pay out.
To pay out?
Man, slot machines even.
Yeah.
It's not like
not even like a card room or something.
Yeah, not like a card game or nothing like slot machines. Dude, that slot man, I wonder what that looked like.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like I was like, damn it, why could I have known about this beforehand?
Yeah,
is it just in the checked
like,
it
in,
out.
Yeah, in the back? Like
I guess.
And like, did you have to like know some secret code?
It must there wasn't a whole lot in the story. It was just kind of very much like a very plain crime.
Yeah,
story, you know, right?
It was probably just taken straight from the police reports or whatever.
Yeah,
which is lame because now I would have liked to have
follow up on that. Josh.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask about that.
That's a beehive post there.
I'll talk to Jim Guy.
Yep,
I'll find out the scoop. That's really funny. Interesting.
Well, I think
I love that.
I do have a reco.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm in.
Our new cool ass donut shop.
Have you checked this out yet? Okay.
Donut Fantasy on West and Bullard.
Okay, this is
kind of next to Manhattan's there.
Okay.
And in the corner there, it's they've got this. Fresno finally has a donut shop that does all the weird shit that Portland
Portland is it worth is standing in line until for. Like 1 o'clock?
In the morning before? No, but you don't have to do that. Like it, I, at first it was, and I was, I would, I tried it a couple times because it's in the neighborhood and the line was just too long for me. I was like, I'm not dealing with that. But now it's, I think it's kind of settled down a little bit. So I only had, like in line for like four deep and it was pretty quick. They went fairly quick.
So they have crazy donuts.
They got like a Butterfinger. So
what did you have?
A Butterfinger one. Reese's Pieces, which I think might be my favorite.
I saw the picture of that. I thought it was
Kool-Aid.
Great.
There's a Kool-Aid one.
Okay.
Where it's just like, it's just sprinkled with Kool-Aid dip. Not even, you know, it's just like that sugar, that Kool-Aid sugar.
Yeah. Kool-Aid. It's Kool-Aid. Yeah.
There's like a marshmallow, like a kind of a s'mores one.
So tell me your, so aside from them being crazy, is it good?
Yeah. They're actually good too. It's not just like, well, oh, the crazy for being crazy. They're actually, the flavors match.
So there were some of these that ended up at the B. Probably from Bethany. And so we did a little taste test. There were some of us. Now, to be fair, they had been sitting out.
Yeah. Okay. That's a big thing.
I believe
thing
they had been
donuts.
Sitting out overnight.
Yeah. Once you go past the day, they start dropping off.
So I had the, or part of, I didn't have a full donut, but Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't get that one.
And the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So Flaming Hot Cheetos was, terrible because and maybe it would see and so maybe it was good, it would have been good fresh,
right
so I'll have to, like, let me preface that by saying, like, I haven't had a fresh and I would try it again, I guess, but so Flaming Hot Cheeto was like you ate it and you couldn't taste the Cheeto at first, right? So it was just like a sweet donut with some crunch to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get the hot aftertaste.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird. So you didn't even get to really enjoy the flaming
the donut,
hot. And then the Kool-Aid was like, I didn't think it tasted very good. But again, it had sat for a day.
Yeah,
and like,
you got to get them within that day. They're baked.
And some donuts, I think, probably can sit overnight and they're still good. I think, especially just like regular plain donuts, I'll just eat that, like, whatever. But if you're gonna put some crazy stuff on it, I think you have to kind of you got to get it fresh. So, but on your recommendation, I'll try it next time I'm over in that area.
Yeah, try some freshies.
All right,
do in the morning sometime.
Right. I think I'll do that. Cool. All right. Well, if that's it, then let's just go ahead and
plug it up.
All right. You get to start.
I will begin the plugging.
Begin the plugging.
All right. We'll just leave that there, back there.
Yeah, well.
I want to plug the podcast.
Okay, the Dorktown Network.
Dorktown, the name tag we have for him. Dorktown Podcast, our Dorktown little comedy, bi-weekly comedy
with bells.
And
I heard,
producer
Becky. That he's challenging me now.
Yeah, he's challenging.
Here's what's happening.
He's like challenging for some reason. Reasons unclear.
Right. Well, you know what? And I had thought before I heard that, I was sitting around thinking, man, next time we do the Flowing with Famous, we need to have bells on. That's what I was thinking. Now
I challenge him on that. I challenge him on that. I was like, dude, you always complain we never ask you to be on Flowing with Famous, and you have never listened to one episode.
Oh, right.
And
he's
like, whoa, good fun.
I don't even know what's this podcast about.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't even know.
So Dorktown.
Yeah, and the Perfect Pour.
The Perfect Pour.
Indie Beer Podcast.
Indie craft beer is done.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. Craft beer.
Craft beer is all. Oh, that guy's drinking over. Craft beer. Craft beer is over.
So now it's indie beer.
I
liked it. Do you feel like that has staying power?
I don't know. We're trying.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because what I would like to see is indie beer becomes a thing and we can claim it that it came from Fresno.
That's right.
So I'm all about it. Tiger Sequoia, are they in?
They're in. I don't know about them in general, but you know, Matt's in.
Well, because I'd like to see Tiger Sequoia indie beer shirt.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, our new logo for the Perfect Pour has indie beer in the logo, so.
Oh, there you go. Indie beer it is.
Officially on there. Trying.
All right.
And then Get Off My Podcast. It's a hair podcast about Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
We've talked about all his movies now. We made it, and now we're in the new territory of just talking about what's going on with Harrison and ruminating.
Stalking him and whatnot.
Stalking him. Harrison Ford, do you have a comment on the podcast?
Yeah. No. Well, then, yeah, so I was going to say, where do you go?
Well, last episode, we talked about what we're going to see from Harrison this year.
What
movies are going to come out or what he's going to be filming or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about some more Force Awakens stuff. So
okay,
we got some shows coming up for like best of, or not best of the show, but you know, top 15 Ford roles, yeah. Blah blah blah, kind of thing.
Memo best Harrison Ford quotes.
Yeah, there's something one like too. Yeah, yeah. And I think we're gonna do some commentary for like the Indiana Jones movies.
Okay.
And just like sit there and do commentary.
So if this is for Harrison Ford fans.
Yeah, that's enough. Okay. Enough talking about that. Right. And us flowing with pod on Twitter. And before I forget, thanks to Evan Onstott
at
KC24. He's got does the KC24 politics show, and he's just one of the reporters on KC24. He was tweeting at us, so that was nice to have somebody else in the media listening.
That actually listened and said that he liked the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's why we do it. That's who we.
Yeah.
I feel like we are doing this for people. They just don't know it yet.
they just
haven't realized. Like, oh, you're doing this for us. I'm sorry.
You're not doing it for yourselves.
I thought you guys were just doing it for yourselves.
Yeah, we can do that all the time and just not put it out. You know.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we actually do just sit around and talk like this. Anytime that we're together.
Pretty much.
Sometimes we just record it.
Sometimes we're just like, damn it, why didn't we record that?
Yeah.
Rob Weeks and Dave Rentaria and Cristobal from Were Bear.
Okay, yeah.
All these people just giving them a heads up.
Yeah.
Say what's up. What have you been doing, Teehee, now that It'll Go Back is not playing so much?
New album out there. So my band, It'll Go Back, is on hiatus of some sort. I'm not sure what
you're just kind of on a going we're gonna be taking it semi-retired,
taking it slow.
We play shows.
The big thing I think coming up is in February, and I want to say it's the 6th or the 7th. It's a Saturday. Saturday I think in February. Big Balls, the AC/DC cover band.
Ooh,
I mean,
your other band.
My other band. We do AC/DC covers, a la Bon Scott.
Only Bon Scott, huh?
Right, and we're playing at Audie's, and I was told, and I couldn't believe it, but it is true. This is the 10th anniversary for the band. I have been doing
that makes sense.
I mean, Right, and you know, in 10 years, we've played 5 shows, I think. So that's the probably actually less than that. This might be.
You're kind of like Dorktown, where we're going to have our 11th anniversary, and we just maybe make 200 episodes.
Right,
which is like the longest anyone's ever taken to get to 200 episodes.
To make that, yeah. So that's happening, and Clovis Rodeo is playing. Who's another band we should maybe talk about? They're a punk band.
They're named Clovis Rodeo.
They're named Clovis Rodeo. You know? Yeah.
Oh, that's a naming rights fiasco. Right,
naming rights issue. Yeah, they should have looked at that. They'll never get that URL. No. So, so Clovis Rodeo and Big Balls, and I think fingers crossed there might be a sort of special guest band, which will be
The Mookies.
I think so. Sparkle Jet might be playing because they have a new bass player coming in, so that would be really cool. But it might be Sparkle Jet, like the original Sparkle Jet lineup, and me playing Ramones covers. Yeah,
with Sparkle Jet.
Yeah, so Sparkle Jet, I'll be singing with him, doing Ramones covers.
Oh my gosh, that's like a dream come true.
That was the last we threw it up there to see if it would take. So that might be happening, which would be really cool. So because Sparkle Jet used to do like a mini Ramones set, and in fact, back I think when It'll Grow Back released our first album. Way back whenever that was, 2000 whatever, we Sparkle Jet opened and they did the full set of Ramones songs. And so they know them, and so the other day they were like, oh, we should do that, and I said, I'll sing if you want to, and they were like, oh, that'd be awesome. So we'll see if that happens or not, but Big Balls is definitely playing if you're into AC/DC. So there it is, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Day job. What are you doing? Day job.
And then, yeah, I'll plug my day job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBeehive.com. You can find those on the internets. And then I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. I tweet all the time. Not all the time, but I tweet often. And if you're into the stuff that's on this that we talk about here, you'll be into the stuff that I do for the Bee.
Yeah.
So there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. Let's see. Is there anything else? Recommendations? Anything else we need to plug?
I don't got it all, man. That's an hour's worth of Fresnoing.
That is brilliant. Well, on that note, then, I will count us out by counting us down from 5, 4, 3, 2.
Open tree.